This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, Bruchim Habayim, welcome everyone. Good afternoon, Shalom Aleichem, to the Kollel Agra DePirka Monday afternoon, National Shir. Very excited to see everybody. And today we're going to be speaking about a very important topic, Parshas Emor and Lag BaOmer, Haba Aleinu LaToiva. I just spoke with the Art Scroll a little bit ago, and the Sefer is going to print. So Be'ezus Hashem, the Sefer will be available at the end of this week. So thank you for those who are Mishtatev, and for those who are interested in seeing it. It should be available at the end of this week. Now, we're going to start. I want to bring you to our site. You can go to rabbidg.com. And for Lag BaOmer this year, we're going to be going to the Kever of the Rama, Rav Moshe Iserlish, in Krakow. We're going next Wednesday night, if anybody wants to join us, to Poland, the Czech Republic, Slovakia, Austria, Vienna, Bratislava, Holeshev, Krakow, Warsaw. You could join us. There's a limited space. Very exciting news. We're translating the Mystery and the Majesty. We're translating into Spanish and French. So, in Spanish, De lo majestiosa a lo sublima. That's the Spanish edition. And the French edition is Le mystere et la majeste. So, you could participate in the publication of those as well. Pesach Sheni is coming up, so make sure you have your Svarim on Reb Meir Bal Hanes, because Reb Meir's Yahrzeit, even though we speak about how it really may be Chanukah, is traditionally observed on Pesach Sheni. Okay, today we're going to be speaking about Parshas Emor and Lag BaOmer. By the way, if you want to subscribe to our bi-weekly emails, so go to our site and click down and just hit the subscribe button and you will get our emails bi-weekly. Okay, and without further ado, we're going to start the shir. The subject is Parshas Emor and Lag BaOmer. Here we go. Could you see the Marah Mekomos? Yeah, let's see if we can make it even bigger. How's this? Good, nice and big? Good, okay. The Torah tells us, the minhag in all places is not to get married between Pesach and Shavuos, because we don't want to be marbe besimcha during these days, because during this time the students of Rabbi Akiva passed away, as recorded in Yevamos, Samach Beis Amad Beis. The Ritz Geos writes, only Nesuin, which is the main simcha we don't do during this time of the year, but Erosin, to do Kiddushin, that is okay. And Nesuin as well. Somebody who jumps ahead and gets married and does Nesuin, we don't punish them. But if they ask us, we tell them not to do so. Now, there are some places, the Torah says, that don't take a haircut. So you see that it was not widespread not to groom oneself during the Yemei HaSfira. And some do shave from Lag BaOmer and on, because they say that the students of Rabbi Akiva stopped dying. So the obvious question is, wow, what a holiday. What happened? Rabbi Akiva had 24,000 students. And now that they were all dead, there was nobody left to die. So let's celebrate. What a happy occasion. Wow, sounds like a really nice Yom Tov. What are we celebrating? We're celebrating that they stopped dying. Well, the only reason they stopped dying is because they were all dead. No, there were no survivors. It's not like Rabbi Akiva had 240,000 students and 24,000 died, but there were many survivors, so we celebrate the survival of the remaining students of Rabbi Akiva. The reason they stopped dying on Lag BaOmer is because people who were never created can't die. Did you know that? People who don't exist can't die. It's a chiddush. You may not have been aware of that. So how could the Pri Chadosh asks, Miu yesh sadakdek besimcha zu lama. What's this happiness? V'imishum shapasku milamas. If it's because they stopped dying, ma bekach haroi lo nishar echad mehem. There were no survivors. V'kula mesu and they all died. U'mativa shel simcha zu. What is the benefit of this simcha? Now, if you want to find out more about this question, you could get the new sefer Lag Ba'omer, the fire and the soul. This is one of the main questions that we discuss in the sefer. What is the simcha of Lag Ba'omer? They stopped dying because there is nobody left. That's question number one. Question number two. Even if somehow you're going to construe that because they stopped dying, we don't need to mourn anymore, but why is that a positive reason to celebrate? In other words, the Pri Chadash asks, why are we rejoicing? The reason they stopped dying is because they all died. But even if you were to say, well, maybe it's just a reason to lift the avelos, maybe it's just a reason to stop the practices of mourning, but that is not a positive reason to celebrate. So that's what two items we need to examine. The question of the Pri Chadash, that they stopped dying because they were all dead. And number two, what is the positive reason to celebrate? Now, what's interesting is the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer, when we begin, do we make the following bracha? Baruch Ato Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Asher Kedeshanu B'mitzvaysav V'tzivanu. No, excuse me. Do we say Shachianu V'kimanu V'higiyanu Lazman Hazeh? Do we make a Shachianu on Sfira? We don't. Why not? Why don't we make a Shachianu on Sfira? Well, we don't make a Shachianu on Sfira is a question that all the Rishonim deal with. Many, many Rishonim deal with this question, among which the Shibolei Haleket deals with this question. And he says the reason we don't make a Shachianu on Sfira is because the Zman of Sfira is dependent on Pesach. Because we don't count Sfira on the 16th day of the Nisan. We start the day after Pesach. So therefore it's not necessary, he says, to make a Shachianu. Could you hear me better now? Therefore, it's not necessary to make a Shachianu on Sfiras HaOmer because it's dependent on the Yom Tov of Pesach. How's the sound? Are you able to hear me better now? Yeah? Much better? How's this? Is this good? Sound is good? You like it? Okay. Much better? Okay. So, he says it's dependent on the time of Pesach. And he says, you know, it's not similar to Sukkah and Lulav that we do make a Shachianu. Why don't we say, why should we make a Shachianu on Sukkah and Lulav? We'll make a Shachianu on the Yom Tov, and that should cover the Sukkah and that should cover the Lulav. The answer is because those items, technically, you could make the Shachianu from the time that you build the Sukkah, or from the time that you tie the Lulav. And if you didn't do it then, so then we'd make it on Yom Tov. But since it's not necessarily dependent on the Yom Tov, we make it separately. And then the Shibolei Haleket says, what about Shofar? Why is a Shofar not exempt with the Shachianu on Rosh Hashanah? He says, it's because Shofar is a Maisa. Sukkah is a Maisa. Lulav is a Maisa. Therefore, they get their own Shachianu. Ma She'in Kein, Sfiras HaOmer, is not an act. And therefore, it is subsumed in the Shachianu of Pesach. But that still requires explanation. What is the connection between Sfiras HaOmer and Pesach? Sfiras HaOmer is a completely independent mitzvah. It happens to be performed the day after Pesach, but it's not fundamentally connected to Pesach. So why would we make a Shachianu on the Sfira? So why would the Shachianu on the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer be exempted with the Shachyanu on the Yom Tov of Pesach? What does Sfiras HaOmer have to do with Pesach? It's a separate independent mitzvah. It happens to be performed a day later, but is it reasonable to say that therefore it does not require a Shachyanu on its own? Okay, so what I would like to present to you is really a revolutionary understanding of Lag BaOmer in general. If you ask most people, what exactly is the celebration of Lag BaOmer? Many would say somehow it's connected to Reb Shimon. Some say the students of Rebbe Kiva stopped dying. But most are hard-pressed to come up with a real fundamental reason why we should celebrate on Lag BaOmer. What exactly is this major celebration? But what I would like to bring to your attention is that actually Lag BaOmer could be thought of as a Yom Tov. It may even be a Yom Tov which is D'oraisa. Let me explain. In Parshas Emor, which by the way, isn't it Hashgacha Pratis? That's this week's Parsha. You know, it comes out really good that I'm speaking about Parshas Emor. And this Shabbos we're going to read Emor. We read about the Parsha of the Mayadim. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe le'mor, daber el b'nei Yisrael v'yamartu aleihem Mayadei Adonai asher tikru oisam mikra ei kodesh elahem Mayadei. So speak to B'nai Yisrael and say to them, the Mayadim of Hashem. And then interestingly it says, Sheshes yamihim te'asem alacha uvayim ha'shavi Shabbat Shabbat soin mikra kodesh kom alacha loisasu Shabbat hiladaynoi b'choyom moshavoy seichem. Fine. What? We just said these are the yamim tovim. And it begins by saying you should work for 6 days. How exactly are the 6 working days yamim tovim? And then it says the 7th day is Shabbos. Shabbos is also not a Yom Tov. This is a very peculiar pasuk. It says, these are the Yomim Tovim, okay? And it starts off by saying, what do you do for a living? You're a psychologist, you're a doctor, you're a plumber, you're an electrician. So imagine, these are the Yomim Tovim. You're going to go to work for 6 days, and then you're going to rest on the 7th. How is my work Yom Tov? Another question you could ask is at the end of the Parsha of the Mayadim. It says, look over here, number 10. Eila Mayadei Hashem Asher Tikru Oisam Mikra Kodesh Milavad Shabbos Ois Hashem. Besides Shabbos. What do you mean besides Shabbos? The first thing you talked about was Shabbos. Why would you have to say at the end of the whole subject, besides Shabbos? Shabbos was the first subject discussed. Very interesting. So Rashi says, you know what Shabbos is doing here? To teach you that anyone who desecrates Yom Tov, it's like he desecrated Shabbos. Don't think that Shabbos is more chamor than Yom Tov, that Shabbos is a chi of skila, so, and it's somehow more chamor. No, Shabbos is not more chamor. It's one who desecrates Yom Tov, it's like he desecrated Shabbos. And anyone who keeps Yom Tov, it's like he kept Shabbos. Furthermore, now, that this Rashi explains what Shabbos is doing here, but it doesn't explain what the 6 working days are doing here. In other words, I understand the Torah wants to talk about Shabbos to teach that if you desecrate Yom Tov, it's like desecrating Shabbos. If you desecrate Shabbos, it's like, if you keep the Yom Tov, it's like keeping Shabbos. Fine. But what are the 6 working days doing in this subject? So this is a question of the Rebbe Reb Heschel. The Rebbe Reb Heschel of Krakow, and it's also the question of the Vilna Gaon. If you want, next Matzah Shabbos, when we visit the Rama on his yard site, we'll visit the Rebbe Reb Heschel, and you could join us at the Kever of the Rebbe Reb Heschel. While we're there, we're going to visit the Megala Amukais. By the way, in Krakow, when they didn't know who the next Rav should be, so the Megala Amukais was Megala, that the next Rav should be Heschel. Why? Because he quoted the Pasuk, Hineni Oimed Alecha Sham Alatsur. Hineni Oimed Alecha Sham is Rosh Yateva's Heschel. And that's how the Rebbe Reb Heschel was selected. He wrote the Chanukas HaTorah. And he brings this question, as well as the Vilna Gaon, and he says something astounding. He says something really amazing. He says, when the Torah says, Sheshes Yamim Teyase Melacha, it is not referring to the 6 working days, because the 6 working days are not Yamim Tovim. But rather, do you know how many days of Yom Tov there are in the year? There's 7 days of Yom Tov. What are they? One day Rosh Hashanah, 2 days Sukkot, 2 days Pesach, 1 day Shavuos. Did you know that there's 6 days of Yom Tov in the year? Rosh Hashanah is 1 day, Midiraisa, 2 days of Pesach, excuse me, Rosh Hashanah, 2 days of Sukkot, the 1st and the 8th, 2 days of Pesach, the 1st and the 7th, 1 day of Shavuos, and then on these 6 days, you're allowed to do malacha, you're allowed to cook, you're allowed to carry. But there is 1 day of Yom Tov, which is Shabbos, Shabbosoin. Did you ever wonder, why does the pasuk say, Sheishas Yomim, Teyasam Lecho Vayem Ashvi, Shabbos, Shabbosoin? What do you mean Shabbos, Shabbosoin? Only Yom Kippur is called Shabbos, Shabbosoin. No, the answer is we are talking about Yom Kippur. There's 7 days of Yom Tov. 6 days, you're allowed to do malacha. The 7th day, Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to do malacha. In other words, the pasuk is not talking about the 6 working days and then the Sabbath. The pasuk is talking about the 6 days of Yom Tov that you're allowed to do malacha. 1 day Rosh Hashanah, 2 days Sukkot, 2 days Pesach, Shavuos. Those days, Teyasa malacha. Uvayom Ashvi, Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is Taka, Shabbat Shabbosoin. This is what the Rebbe of Heschel says, is what the Gra says. The Gra adds, that's why at the end of the Parsha, it says, Milavad Shabbos Ois Hashem, beside Shabbos. What do you mean? We spoke about Shabbos in the beginning. Wrong. We never said a word about Shabbos yet. We weren't talking about Shabbos. We were talking about Yom Kippur. Isn't that unbelievable? Then it comes out, the Parsha begins this way. Eileh Mayadei Hashem Asher Tikroi Samikroi Kodesh Elahei Mayadei. These are the Yomim Tovim. 6 days. And the 7th day is Yom Kippur. And then it goes on to explain what mitzvahs you do on these days. So this is the introduction to the Parsha of the Mayadim. Now let's learn for a moment and let's study something else. You know, we have 2 basic parshios of Yomim Tovim in the Torah. We have Emor and we have Pinchas. What's the difference between Emor in Toras Kohanim and Pinchas in Devarim? Very simple. Emor tells you about the mitzvahs, Pinchas tells you about the karbanos. Question. Did you notice? And by the way, presumably then, whatever is in Emor is a Yom Tov. Whatever days we're talking about are Yom Tov, right? March 15th is not mentioned in Parshas Emor, because it's not a Yom Tov. Groundhog's Day, it's not in Parshas Emor, because it's not a Yom Tov. We're only mentioning Yomim Tovim. Could somebody please tell me why in Parshas Emor it talks about you're going to come into Eretz Yisrael and you're Uketzar Temes Ktzirah, you're going to cut the harvest, you're going to bring the Oimer, Reishis Ketzirchem, the first of your harvest, El HaKohen, to the Kohen. Could somebody please tell me why it talks about the bringing of the Karban Oimer? Karban Oimer is a very nice pasuk, but what's it got to do with the Parsha, the Yomim Tovim? Shouldn't that be, I don't know, in Pinchas or in another Parsha, where we talk about Karbanos? Why is the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer mentioned in Parshas Emor? Are the days of Sfiras HaOmer Yom Tov? They're days of Avelos. They shouldn't be in Parshas Emor. We don't talk about the 3 weeks in Parshas Emor. So why do we talk about Sfira in Parshas Emor? So number one, why do we talk about the Karban HaOmer? Why do we talk about the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer? And why do we talk about the days of the Omer? Here's another point. You know, in Parshas Emor, it talks about bringing karbanos on Pesach and on Sukkot for 7 days. In it says in Perek Chav Gimel Pasuk Ches, V'hikravtem isha l'Hashem shivas yamim. Why is it talking about bringing karbanos during the Chol HaMoed? This is not the parsha of karbanos. The parsha of karbanos is Pinchas, not Emor. Is this a mistake? Did this pasuk accidentally get in here? Obviously not. Says the Sfarno, the reason the Torah says you bring karbanos on 7 days of Pesach is to explain that the 7 days of Pesach, you might wonder, why is Chol HaMoed mentioned in Parshas Emor? After all, it's not a Moed, it's not a Yom Tov. The answer is, since you bring karbanos for 7 days, the bringing of a karban is reflective of its Yom Tov quality. The fact that we bring a karban, that reflects the Yom Tov quality of these days of Chol HaMoed. If we bring a karban besides the karban tamid, then it becomes like a mikra kodesh. It becomes like a chag. That's the only reason why it's mentioned here. We mentioned that we bring karbanos throughout Pesach and throughout Sukkot to explain how these days are really days of Yomim Tovim. Fine. Now, so now let's come to the big revelation of today. The Ramban makes the following analogy. The Ramban tells us in a Kabbalistic comment, but Rabbeinu Bechaye also makes this comment in a few places, that the Yom Tov of Pesach is analogous to the Yom Tov of Sukkot. Sukkot has 7 days, followed by Shmini Atzeres. Likewise, Pesach has 7 days, followed by Atzeres Shavuos. And the days in between Pesach and Shavuos, says Ramban, they are like Chol HaMoed. Says the Ramban, V'hinei hi shmini atzeresi. The 8th day is Atzeres. Ki sham ne'etzar hakol. Everything is restrained. V'tziva b'chag hamatzos shiva yomim b'kedusha lefneim. It commanded the Yom Tov of Matzos, 7 days of sanctity before them, ulachreim and after them, ki kulam kedoshim. They're all holy. Uvesoichem Hashem, and God is in its midst. Umana mimenu tishav arba yom. And you count 49 days. Shiva shavuos, 7 weeks, ki me'olam, like the days of old. V'kadesh yom shmini kishmini shachag. We sanctify the 8th day, Shavuos, like the 8th day of Sukkot. And the days in between Pesach and Shavuos, the Hayomim Hasfurim Beintayim, the counted days in between, Kechuloi Shamoyed, are like Chol HaMoed, Bein Harishon V'Hashmini B'Chag, between the 1st and the 8th day of Sukkot, V'Hu Yom Matan Torah. That is the day of Matan Torah, Sheherem Boi Es Isha Hagdoila, that Hashem showed His great fire. The Ramban is saying that Pesach and Shavuos is analogous to Sukkot. So Pesach are like the first days, Shavuos is like Shmini Atzeres, and the days in between are like Chol HaMoed. Ooh, that means the days of Sfira are like Chol HaMoed. By the way, Rabbeinu Bechaye also mentions this point, and he says, the 49 days between Pesach and Shavuos are like Chol HaMoed between the first day of Sukkot and Shemini Atzeres. Likewise, the Kara Kemach writes that the days in between Pesach and Shavuos are like Chol HaMoed. By the way, an amazing thing, you know, the Achronim bring that there's an Isser of doing Malacha at night, during the days of Sfira. And there's a question, is it for women? Is it for men? And Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes in the Marg Tzia that the reason why there was an Isser Malacha is as a reminder not to forget to count Sfira at night. According to that, says the Marg Tzia, says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, the Isser would only be for men, because men are the ones obligated in Sfira. Or, says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, maybe the reason for the custom, he provides another reason, is to be similar to Chol HaMoed. to be similar to Chol HaMoed. And just like on Chol HaMoed, there's an Isser Malacha. During Sfira, they placed an Isser Malacha, but they only placed the Isser at night, because since it was the time of harvesting, we didn't want to cause an undue loss to people's businesses. But again, you see that this idea that the Yimei Sfira are like a Chol HaMoed between Pesach and Shavuos has halachic ramifications. In other words, it's not just a philosophical idea mentioned by Ramban and Rabbeinu Bechaye, but according to Rabbi Yaakov Emden, that's the reason for, why there's an Isser Malacha. Now, by the way, the Sfas Emes also brings this idea that the days of Sfira are like Yomim Tovim, like Chol HaMoed, between Pesach and Shavuos. Now, what? Oh, okay, we're going to get to that. Okay, we're going to get to that. Good point. By the way, so now we understand, friends, we understand why the Yimei Sfira are mentioned in Parshas Emor. Parshas Emor is the Parsha of Yomim Tovim. Why are the days of Sfira mentioned in Parshas Emor? The answer is because the days of Sfira really are Yomim Tovim. It's no less in a way, I mean, it's less than a real Chol HaMoed, but it has a quasi-status of Chol HaMoed. Ad kedei kach, I mean, the Ramban says, it's like Chol HaMoed, to the point where Rabbi Yaakov Emden says they even made, there was an ancient custom not to do malacha in the nighttime, because it's actually like Chol HaMoed. By the way, the Torah says, the reason for this custom is either because the students of Rabbi Kiva passed away, since they died Samach L'Shkia, and they were buried Samach L'Shkia, the people stopped doing malacha then, because the Talmid Chachamim passed away, so there were goys there not to do malacha. Or another reason, says the Torah, is think about how the Torah describes these days. It says, Sheva Shabbosois. Shabbosois is a lashon of Shavuos, resting. So that means these weeks have some type of biblical quality of Yom Tov, of rest, of Shavuos, of ceasing from malacha. So therefore, ceasing from malacha. Fine. Now it's very interesting. Now we really have a deeper understanding why these days are mentioned in Parshas Emor. Because they indeed have a Yom Tov quality to them, they have a Moed quality to them. And now we understand why the Karban Omer is mentioned in Parshas Emor. The same way the Karban of Chol HaMoed, Pesach, and Sukkot is mentioned in Emor, because if we're makriv a Karban, that's reflective that these days have a status of a Yom Tov. Likewise, on Chol HaMoed, likewise during the days of Sfira, the fact that these days start with a special Karban, and the Karban is really continued because the Karban triggers the counting from the bringing of the Omer. So the counting really draws and continues the bringing of the Karban. In other words, you bring the Karban on the first day, and you extend that sacrifice by counting on each subsequent day. So it's reflective on the Yom Tov quality of these days. Now, Ad Kedei Kach, there's a student of the Brisker Rav, the Emek Bracha, Rav Arya Pomeranchik, who brings something called Medrash Tache, that there are seven Yomim Tovim. Shabbos, Chag HaMatzos, Chag HaOmer, Chag HaShavuos, Chag HaShofaros, Chag Yom HaKippurim, Chag HaSukkos. And the question is, why would Chag HaMatzos and Chag HaOmer be counted separately? Why would they be counted separately? The Omer is the second day of Pesach. So the Emek Bracha says as follows. Remember the Gemara in Erechin? The Gemara in Erechin says, why do we say Hallel on every day of Sukkot? Because each day of Sukkot has a different carbon, so therefore each day is a separate Yom Tif. But Pesach, we bring the same carbon every day, so therefore it's not a separate Yom Tif. So we see the bringing of the carbon is reflective of a unique status of Yom Tif. Just like the Sfarno said, that if we bring a carbon on Chol HaMoed, that's reflective of its status of Yom Tif. So therefore, says the Emek Bracha, if a new carbon is brought on the second day of Pesach, namely the carbon Omer, that's reflective that the Yom HaOmer, the second day of Pesach, is in a way a new Yom Tif. So you have the Yom Tif of Pesach, and that's reflected by the carbon of Pesach that's brought. But you also have the Yom Tif of Omer. The Omer is the second day of Pesach. In a way, it's a new Yom Tif. What demonstrates it's a new Yom Tif? The fact that we bring a new carbon. So it comes out, as says Emek Bracha, that somebody asked him, well, just like we say Hallel Shalem on each day of Sukkot, because new carbon is brought, why then don't we say Hallel Shalem in Eretz Yisrael on the second day of Pesach? That should also be a Yom Tif, as reflected by a new carbon. So to that I would perhaps suggest that the Gemara in Erechin says that it's not enough to bring a carbon, it also has to be a moyed. And the same way Shabbos is not a moyed, and we don't say Hallel on Shabbos, the second day of Pesach would not be a moyed for a new reason that you bring a carbon. But in any event, what we're learning is, anything mentioned, friends, in the Parsha, in Parshas Emor, Parshas Emor is not, oh, this is the Parsha of the calendar. Not everything is in Parshas Emor. Tax day is not in Emor. Rabbi Yishayel of Karastir's yard site is not in Parshas Emor. What do you mean, but it's a very important day? Yeah, but it's not one of the Yom Tovim. You know, I'm joking here. So not every, but whatever is mentioned in Emor must be a Moyed. That's why all 7 days of Pesach are mentioned, because there's a Yom Tov quality to it. The whole Sukkot is mentioned, even Chol HaMoed. That's why the Karban Omer is mentioned, because the fact that we bring a Karban, that's reflective of it having a quasi-status of Yom Tov. And that's why all the days of Sfira are mentioned, because the days of Sfira are really Yom Tov days. They're Yom Tov days. Why are they Yom Tov days? Because they're the Chol HaMoed between Pesach and Shavuos. In fact, Rabbi Yerucham Oshin in the Yareach Lamayadim says that this may explain why we don't make a Shechianu on the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer. We asked, isn't the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer an independent mitzvah from Yom Tif? Why would it get covered by the Shechianu that we make on Pesach? What is the Shechianu on Pesach? Really? It covers the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer? The mitzvah of Sfira doesn't get subsumed in the mitzvah of... The mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer is subsumed in the Yom Tov of Pesach? It's an independent day. But in light of what we learned, the days of Sfira are the Chol HaMoed of Pesach. It's part of the Yom Tov of Pesach. It is subsumed in the Yom Tov of Pesach. The days of Sfira are not independent. They are subsumed in the Yom Tif of Pesach, and therefore the Shechianu that we make on Pesach, the Shibale HaLeket says, will cover the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer. By the way, we're going to take a little poll here, okay? Who here says Yoytzrois in the Shabbosim between Pesach and Shavuos? Ephraim, you do? Where do you daven? We're going to ask you to unmute. Well, we missed that. Where? We missed that. You have to unmute again.
In Queens, it's by Rabbi Friedman, and in Muncie, by Rabbi Moshe Jonathan, I'm not sure
what
you say.
Wow. So here we have a living proof that there are shuls still today. They say Yoytzrois in the Shabbosim between Pesach and Shavuos in Rabbi Friedman's shul, Beis Yosef de Ulam. They say on First Street and 70th, 72nd Crescent. I don't remember what.
72nd Avenue.
72nd Avenue. They say Yoytzrois in the Shabbosim between Pesach and Shavuos. Now the Levush brings that the Levush actually brings the halacha that these Yoytzrois are very important. He says the first Shabbos after Pesach we say the Yoytzer VaYoisha or Yisrael, and the Levush codifies the practice of these Yoytzrois. And he says these Yoytzrois speak about the Geula, and we lament during this time, and we remember the redemption from Egypt, and we mourn the Galus and the Tsarois that we have from the Gentiles, and we mention all the Gzeirois in our Medinos Ashkenaz, that many of them have fallen out during this time, and therefore we ask Hashem to remember their merit, and just like in Mitzrayim, we ask Hashem to show us miracles. And many question whether you're allowed to say these Yoytzrois, because after all, how could you mourn on Shabbos? But the Munkach Rebbe was very careful to be medakdek in these Yoytzrois. In Nimukei Archaim, he says, especially during this time of the year, the Tikkunei Zohar says that on Shavuos, the Geula will come, Yipkun Min Galusa. On the 50th day, David is born. And therefore, this is the reason, says the Mincha Salazar, that it's reported about the Mincha Salazar, about that he would say these Yoytzrois with a mournful, tearful voice, and especially on Shabbos Kodesh, which is a Zman that it's Mesugal for one's tefillos to be answered. Like we know, the word Shabbos is Rashi Tevois, Tefilasi Shigura Befi, my prayer is frequent, is proficient in my mouth. And in the Sefer Darkei Chayim V'Shalom, he brings that from Pesach till Shavuos, about the importance of these piyutim, like the minhag of the Zera Kodesh of Rabshitz, and how the Mincha Salazar would say this with very hot tears. And this was a hachana for the Gula Shlema B'Bias Goyal, and how important it is to say these tefillos. But the Oitzar Aplai Satayra suggests that the reason why these tefillos are so appropriate, why do we say these Yoytzrois and Piyutim, it's almost like these Shabbosos during Sfira are like Yom Tif. The same way many have accustomed to say Yoytzrois and Piyutim during the Shalosh Regalim on Pesach and Shavuos and Sukkos, likewise during the Shabbosos of the Yemei HaSfira. Again, in light of what we learned, that this Zman has a quality of Yom Tif to it. It's like the Chol HaMoed between Pesach and Shavuos. We understand the unique quality of the Yomim Tovim, of the Shabbosos during Sfiras Omer. And the real whopper is a comment of the Vilna Gaon himself. The Vilna Gaon says in Yoredeya, Simon Shin Sadi Tes, the Vilna Gaon says that if somebody is an Avel on Erev Pesach, it does an avel, is he noyeg avelos on Erev Pesach? Says the Vilna Gaon, that just like an avel is not noyeg avelos on Pesach, just like he's not noyeg avelos on Shavuos or on Sukkos, says the Gra, avel is not noyeg avelos on Erev Pesach. Why? Because Erev Pesach is mentioned in Parshas Emor. Because did you know that what does the Torah call Pesach? Yud Daled Nisan is Pesach. Tezvav Nisan to the 21st is Chag HaMatzos. But the 14th is called Pesach. And it's mentioned in Emor. And it's listed in Eilam Moyad Hashem. So says the Gaon, since Erev Pesach is mentioned in Parshas Emor, it must be a Moyad. And therefore there's no Avelos on Erev Pesach. It's Moyade Hashem. In that case, friends, if Parshas Emor mentions the days of Svira and the Karban Omer, then those days also must be Moyed, and those days also must be a biblical Yom Tov. Ah, so we come to Reb Tzvi's question. After everything we've learned, now that we've learned that everything mentioned in Emor is a Yom Tov and has a biblical quality of Moyed and belongs in the parish of Eila Moyade Hashem, then why are we Noyeg Avelos during this time? We're not Noyeg Avelos on Erev Pesach. Why are we Noyeg Avelos during Parshas Emor? I'm sorry, during the days of Svira. And the answer is because the tragedy that 24,000 students of Rav Akiva passed away, who would have been the continuity of the Torah, and maybe on a different occasion we'll explain that they believed that Bar Kochba was Mashiach, and he did have the potential to be Mashiach, and he was going to build the third Beis HaMikdash. So the tragedy that these students died, and that Bar Kochba did not was not able to assume the role of Mashiach, that was such a tragedy. That's on par with the destruction of the temple, because what difference does it make if a temple is destroyed, or if a temple that should have been built is never built? So the terrible mourning of the death of the students of Rabbi Akiva overrode and transformed Miyamta Flavelos. It overrode the day. It was so tragic. It transformed days of holiday, days mentioned in Parshas Emor, into days of Avelos. But friends, imagine if there was one day that the students didn't die. Imagine if we could identify one 24-hour time period that the students stopped dying, for whatever reason it may be. Then that day, it's not that we're going to celebrate because they didn't die. On that day, the inherent, fundamental, natural, biblical quality of Yom Tov of that day would be able to burst forth and be experienced in all of its original glory, the way it should have been, as it's mentioned in Parshas Emor. Oh, imagine if we could identify one day that the students of Rabbi Akiva didn't die. We did. Lag BaOmer. On Lag BaOmer, we're not celebrating the fact that they didn't die. The happiness, the joy, is not, we're not rejoicing they didn't die. Inherently, all the days of Sfira are Yom Tov. It's mentioned in Emor. These are Yomim Tovim. The only thing is, they had to be cancelled because of the death of the students of Rabbi Akiva. But there's one day that never lost its original glory. There's one day that was never soiled. There's one day that was never covered up. There's one day that was never ruined. Lag BaOmer. So Lag BaOmer retains its original, pristine, biblical Yom Tov quality. Lag BaOmer is like the Chag HaOmer. It's the Yom Tov of the Omer. Really, all of these days are Sfira HaOmer. All the days of Sfira are like Chol HaMoed. The Ramban says they're Chol HaMoed. Imagine if you had to take your kid on a Chol HaMoed trip for 49 days. You'd bring him to great adventures and you'd leave him on the roller coaster. When it's stuck. No, don't take your kids on roller coasters. You know, wait 5 hours that they should be turned upside down. If they want it, what are you going to do? But okay, that's just personal advice. You know, think of something better. If you could get out of it, some kids are good negotiators. They could convince you of anything. Can you imagine? Kids could even convince parents to spend $100 per ticket to wait for 5 hours that they should be shaken up and down, you know? After they come down, they don't remember what they counted the night before. But that's a side point. But if you want to understand what is the meaning of Lag BaOmer, it's not that we're celebrating that the students of Rabbi Akiva stopped dying. That's not the cause of celebration. That allows the original luster of Lag BaOmer to shine in its natural, inherent, biblical status. This is the great Chiddush of Rav Moshe Shapiro. Lag BaOmer is we're discovering the Moyed of the days of Svira, and it turns out then that Lag BaOmer has a certain quality that is even Midoraisa. Marv Raboisai, have a wonderful day. Thank you so much for listening. Kol Tov. Yeah, sure.
Thank you.
That what?
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.